Hey there, everybody. Welcome out to another episode of Redeemed Through His Blood. This is Scott Durfee, and as always, I'm joined by the beautiful Princess Deborah Durfee.
Good grief. Every week I get a title. I love it.
Yeah, it was Princess so last kind. Week, too, I think, actually, so you should be getting used to that one by now, I would think.
Yeah.
No?
Everybody else is probably getting sick of it. But.
No, I don't think so. Those who know you agree. Those who don't will just have to take my word for it. And if they listen to you long enough, they'll agree too.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, it's good to be home, I guess, yeah. Right? We just got back from just yesterday, we flew home from Miami. We spent a few days in the Caribbean.
7 to be exact.
But who's counting?
In the beautiful sunshine and the turquoise waters.
Yeah, sure was too, wasn't it?
So lovely. Yeah. Beautiful and warm.
Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to return.
Yes.
To come home.
Absolutely.
To come back and face
our reality.
Our reality. Yeah. That's
yeah. True. I don't think I could function or live in the Caribbean. I think I would just constantly just relax in the sun and enjoy that beautiful water.
I'd like to give it a try.
Yeah, I'd have to take all my kids.
That's true. That alone keeps me here, and that's reason enough. The other thing is, too, is we both said when we came home, when we're driving up and we see the beautiful mountains, just to the east of us here, right out our front door, we both said, it's awesome to be in a beautiful area like we were, but there's no place like home.
So true.
Right?
So true.
Yeah. It's just good to sometimes be home, you know, to get our feet back under us and face reality. And even though sometimes we don't
want to face reality.
We don't want the responsibilities that come with reality. I think that those are also a gift or can be as well. So.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah. Hey, last episode that came out was the one that we did on step two with Crystal and Nick. And
love them.
Yeah, it was great, too. Apparently, we've had a lot of response, a lot of emails. You can email us, by the way, at heredeemsus@gmail.com. Some emails and various things like that, calls, people that we know. So it sounds like that we're going to do step three next month in March, because March is the third month. Step three, we're going to kind of keep them correlated that way.
And how perfect is that?
It's all in divine order. we're excited about doing that more. Today, we're going to shift gears just a little bit. We spend a lot of time, Deb, really talking about the doctrine behind repentance, and we include all of the important, again, doctrinal points, etc. And sometimes, we just need to take a little bit of a pause, I think, and look to see maybe where are we seeing these things in our own life outside of all the chaos. I did get an email, speaking of emails, and again, we appreciate those. I did get an email from somebody recently. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail because there's some kind of sensitive stuff in this one. But the situation is such where a family could be... the family structure is actually in terrible jeopardy. There's an individual, the husband and father, who's really struggling to fill our Heavenly Father's spirit in light of a split up and just a lot of chaos. And I'm getting one letter. I don't know the wife's story and all of those things. And it's not really important that I do, because Heavenly Father, and through His Son, that He loves us all, right? And He's going to, as we approach Him, and sometimes even before we even notice it, sometimes He gets busy being in our lives. Sometimes we won't notice it. I got an email today from, again, as I mentioned, from this gentleman, and he is finding, Deb, you can't believe what this guy's going through. And it's about as bad as you can imagine. Mm. But he, for some reason, has been able to grasp the concept of having a relationship with Heavenly Father through Heavenly Father, Son, Jesus, administrated by the Holy Ghost, so that he can, in his time of trial, fill the ministering of angels and the ministering of the blessings, the enabling and the compensatory and the redeeming blessings that come from Christ's atonement in his life. And I think that, you know, this really speaks loud words around, you know, maybe something that sometimes I don't really remember to consider. And that is this, you know, it's easy to see Heavenly Father. It's easy to see the effects of His Son when there are big, loud miracles, right? You know, when I see the Red Sea parted in my own life. Oh, yeah, that's easy to see. You know, or when I see, you know, any of those, you know, the blind to see, you know, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, of course, you know, and when I see those miracles, it's pretty easy. But sometimes, you know, life doesn't happen like that. Life doesn't happen in big moments. You know, we don't have a series of big moments and call that life. What we have is a series of hopefully, you know, more quiet moments, etc. And then we move into, on occasion, these big chaotic or these big dramatic or these big magnificent events and experiences. But those are typically the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah.
The rule is typically just, you know, typical Tuesday afternoon life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, just...
And so the question becomes, when I don't have these big events happening in my life that drive me or draw me to Him, how do I see Him? You know, where is He in the quietness? Where is He in the quiet moments? And how do I begin to recognize and see Him, you know, in those moments? Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes 100% sense. And I think... it reminds me of that scripture in Alma 37, 6 and 7. I'll never forget this. My niece Hannah, at her farewell for her mission, she got up and talked about this. Like this was years ago that she had a farewell, but I remember her sharing this scripture and talking about small and simple things, great things come about. And it's again in Alma 37 verses 6 and 7. And I'm going to go ahead and read that and then I'm going to talk about it. Now we may suppose that this is foolish in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And small means in many instances doth confound the wise. And the Lord God doth work by means to bring about His great and eternal purposes. And by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about the salvation of many souls. I love that. I love the simplicity of that, that it's small. Still, yeah. Small voice, small action, small. And it also reminds me this morning when I was doing my scripture study and I was reading about Abraham and his chaotic household that he was raised in and then how he followed the Lord. And I just thought, God, who can relate with chaotic households? Anyways, you know, when I was done, I began to pray and I just wept. And I just haven't said, Heavenly Father, I know You're there. I feel You. I don't know if it was the week away from the chaos that brought me back to that, but I'm like, I feel You. You're here. And I had this, I had an appointment at the dentist this morning at 8 o'clock this morning. And when I walked in, the entire staff was sitting in the entrance. And I walked in and they all looked at me and they're like, well, good morning. And one of the assistants said, you know, the dentist said, who gets to work on Deb? And I said, who got the shortest straw? Anyways, this cute little gal, Melissa, she says, it is so good to finally meet you. And I thought, oh yeah, it's nice to meet you too. And then she started to talk about how she has met you a couple of times and how she listens to the podcast. And we had the sweetest conversation about how the atonement of Jesus Christ works in our lives. And you know, I wasn't expecting that. I was going to get my teeth cleaned and x-rayed. And this sweet Melissa, she just kept talking about how impactful it is. And then she shared some of her own story of how, you know, she's had to rely on the atonement of Jesus Christ. And I just think, you know what? We all carry heavy burdens. We all have things going on in our lives that if we, for me, I have to pause and have the eyes to see the small and simple things. And I was so abundantly blessed this morning. And the first time I met her, I mean, it's the very first time I met her when we're getting ready to leave, I just hugged her and I said, I love you. It was just immediate. But I just thought, what a gift. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending her, allowing her, of all of that entire staff. It was just a tender, tender, sweet moment. And she was testifying to me. She gave me chills. It was so sweet. Just a small, everyday, go-to-the-dentist appointment.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Small and simple things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love in that scripture that you read, you know, in verse 6, it calls it small and simple things. And then in verse 7, it says very small.
Yes.
And simple things, right?
Yes.
And I think that that's intentional. I think that it's like... I think the message that we are trying, that the Spirit is trying to convey to us there is, guys, it doesn't have to be fireworks.
Yeah.
It's just little moments, little tender mercies, we call them sometimes, you know.
And very small is doable. You know, when he talks about, because sometimes I feel like I need to be doing more. I need to be more productive and more, minister more and serve more. And, you know, I think sometimes I forget that it is the small and simple things.
Yeah.
Saying a prayer for someone that's struggling, putting a name in the temple, you know,
right.
A smile.
Yeah.
But, you know, in passing a stranger.
Just finding compassion.
Yes. And I think it reminds me in this, we may get derailed on this one, but it just... I was listening to a podcast just recently, and they talked about how in the end, all of our sins will be exposed on this big reel or whatever. Anyways, and they said, you know, our sin is our fallen state. It's not necessarily the bad things we've done, but I think if we could see into everybody's life and see their fallen, the challenges and the trials that they have endured in this lifetime, we all would have more compassion.
Yeah.
We would all have a more open heart. And I'm so sorry that you've endured that, but you don't know.
Well, and you said if we could see others that way.
Yes.
What if we could see ourselves that way?
Yeah.
What if we could see our own challenges, big and small? Because sometimes I have little challenges that just gnaw at me.
Yeah.
Right? They're just constantly banging on me, just small little challenges sometimes. And sometimes we have big challenges. But I think it's in any challenge. It's in anything, you know. And again, you say it's that fallen state. I think that's where I see my small challenges. I see my big ones there too. But my small ones can get sneaky on me. Right. They can just come in and I can be just kind of floating along in life. And then at some point just realize, man, there's something off. You know, I feel a little bit off. And sometimes when I say I feel a little bit off, it's because I haven't noticed. You know, we get an opportunity, babe, to have big manifestations of the Spirit. Well, you know, we get them constantly when we're doing this. You know, it's not infrequent that in this little tiny room here in our house where we do this podcast, that we get flooded with the Spirit when we're doing this, conveying to us the truth of the things that we're talking about. And I know that He conveys the truth of the things that we're talking about to our listeners as well. Then we go to Institute and we get to have big experiences there. I got a text from somebody just this past week who is a licensed clinical social worker who sent somebody to our Institute class, and the response from the person they sent to the Institute class was the Spirit was palatable. Mm. I could just feel the Spirit. I'll definitely. And so you and I get an opportunity to have experiences like that on a semi-frequent basis. You know what I find?
With effort.
Yeah. Effort and work and all that maybe means the same thing, but it's definitely there. But it's sometimes easy for me when it gets a little quieter and I'm not feeling those big firework type of experiences. It's easy sometimes for me then to misinterpret the quietness as a separation of the Spirit.
Mm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And I could see that.
Yeah, I get. So, I don't know if this is an appropriate association or not, but, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic and a drug addict. You know, I want big experiences.
Well, God knows that, though, and he's going to teach you how to
look
for the small and simple things.
It's difficult.
You said that out loud.
I know. And that's maybe part of my step 10 right there for sure. But, so sometimes when it gets quiet, when it gets, things don't seem like they're big and fireworkish and all those kinds of things, maybe I feel inappropriately, but nonetheless, I feel a little bit disconnected.
Yeah.
And I'm wrong in that. And I've been thinking about that since yesterday. I've been thinking a lot about that because we did come through a real quiet time. We were absent from our institute class. I didn't teach gospel doctrine this past Sunday, and it was my turn to teach. And so, you know, I've had these things that keep me intact or in touch, and they've kind of been absent. So I've been thinking about over the last couple of days, Scott, where do you see him? Where does he show up? And Deb, it's amazing to me when I do that inventory, how much he shows up, maybe even more in the quiet moments in my life.
Yeah.
It just,
but we have to, and I think that again, and I bring this up all the time, is that it's that be still.
Right.
Be still and know that I am God.
Right.
And in this busy, loud world, that's getting harder.
Yeah. And for some of us, being still has been extremely uncomfortable in the past.
For sure.
And this is where I feel, you know, you had that experience with our sweet friend at the dentist office this morning. You know, I would even see that as a pretty good experience. But for me, over the last week or so, I've had an opportunity to reflect on the quietness and to find peace in the quietness.
Mm.
That's a miracle for me.
Yeah, that is.
That's a huge miracle for me. Even in recovery, it's been difficult for me to be still and to find the Spirit in the stillness.
Yeah.
You know, but which in the past has given me a lot of anxiety. It's given me, I've been defensive. I've been, you know, whatever. And when I find myself lately, and, I reserve the right to make mistakes around this. I'm just saying that so you don't hold me accountable 100% of the time for it. But
welcome to the carnal world.
Right. But the point is that I'm feeling him, you know, I'm not getting agitated. That's a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I mean, the lack of agitation, I'm looking for miracles to receive stuff, but when he takes stuff away from me, maybe it's not as noticeable unless I make effort to notice it. But I don't get agitated as much as I used to. I'm not perfect at it, but
big awareness.
I don't get angry. I don't feel like somebody's taken advantage of me, for example, if they cut me off in traffic anymore. You know, it's been a long time since I've wanted to pull somebody over and fight them. Honestly.
Yeah.
I'm just being transparent here.
I know.
It's been a long time. Now, when I say a long time, it hasn't been years and years, but it's been months.
That's progress.
Right?
Progress, not perfection.
Yeah. So, and this reminds me, Deb, you know, you brought up that scripture from Alma. There's one in Doctrine and Covenants. It's in Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, and it's verse 88. And this one also, the one you read and this one, and there are a few others, but this one also really helps me, I think, kind of keep it in perspective. And it says, "And whoso receiveth you, there I will go also, for I will go before your face. I'll be on your right hand and I'll be on your left. And my spirit shall be in your hearts and my angels round about you to bear you up." And my angels round about you to bear you up. Sometimes he's just there when it's quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. He's present before we even notice him.
Well, wow. Yeah. He's present before we even notice he's there sometimes.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of us are missing that.
Well, I'm definitely guilty.
And when I say us, I mean me.
Yeah.
I know I have been and still sometimes do. And this may be something that is important for me to continually be aware of and work with.
Coming to me in every thought.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, David's in his last email, he started, I may have already mentioned this, but he's put, when he signs off, and they're doing wonderful work in Australia, by the way, I don't mean to get sidetracked here, but at the end of his letters, he puts, "Now, LTH David. And I asked him what that meant. It's look to him.
Look to him.
Look
like
to
LTH.
Him. LTH, look to him. And that's really it, you know.
Yeah.
The question, though, is, Deb, why do we miss it? Why do we miss feeling that when it's quiet?
Well, we're in a world where we have instant gratification, instant knowledge, instant food, instant whatever we want, we get it immediately. And I think we forget that we are spiritual beings having a mortal experience instantly. And God's timing is not the earth's timing. And I think it's important for me to remember that stillness and calmness and peacefulness is of God. It's, you know, I think oftentimes when we stop in the world, or we're not productive, or we're not getting things done, or we put judgment on it. And it's interesting to give myself permission to go, it's okay to be still. I need that connection. I need that prayer and meditation to be still and hear him.
I love that we're learning from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible.
Yes.
This year. And I love that there's so many ways to find Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. There's a particular person who I love. His name's John Hilton III. And if you haven't, I'm promoting him, and he has a podcast, and he's a religion professor at BYU. He's just an amazing man. His sweet daughter was in our institute class couple of years ago, and just absolutely love this guy. But the thing that he's helping me to learn better, Deb, is how to find Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. John says Jesus is on every page of the Old Testament. And I've really tried to make that kind of my focus as I'm teaching the Old Testament in gospel doctrine as well. But this is one of those examples of where we find Jesus even in the Old Testament, and sometimes especially in the Old Testament. This is in 1 Kings, and it's in chapter 19. And it's I'm going to start in verse 11. I think I'll read verses 11 and 12. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the wind. Did you hear that? Interesting, huh? And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Interesting. When I think about this is just interesting. But and then verse 12, and then after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice.
Wow.
There
you go.
Where are we looking for him?
Yeah.
And when
not
I,
in the thunder and the fire and the wind. And
again, when I say where are we looking for him, I mean, where am I looking for him? I need this reminder.
Yeah.
I just need this reminder that sometimes it's just in the still, small voice.
Yeah. So true.
Sometimes it's just really easy for us to overlook the blessing of steadiness. We want intensity, you know, but he gives us constancy instead of, and sometimes intensity too, but he gives us constancy. I love this quote from, this is from Elder Bednar. This is from April 2011 General Conference. The title of the talk is The Spirit of Revelation. Love this talk. Most frequently, revelation comes in small increments over time and is granted according to our desire, worthiness, and preparation. Such communications from Heavenly Father gradually and gently distill upon our souls. Interesting choice of wording there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting choice, right?
Yeah. What does it mean by distill upon our souls?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually had that. We talked about that. It's not like I had that question independent. I don't want to pretend like we did, but you know, I had to look it up. I had to
gradually
look up,
and gently distill.
I had to look that word up. Distillation is a slow purification process. This is not an explosion.
Hmm.
Okay, it's not detonation. It's distillation. Okay, so it's a slow purification process. It's not a lightning bolt. It's heat applied over time, vapor rising, condensation forming. And what you're left with is something clearer and more refined. You know, I love what Elder Bednar said.
Wow.
Where he says, revelation gradually and gently distills upon our soul. That means most of the time, Jesus isn't downloading truth to us in dramatic moments, right? We're not plugging in a USB and then all of a sudden we're getting this download or something. He's refining us quietly. Just quietly.
In the stillness and the small and simple things.
Over time.
Yeah.
Layer by layer.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't even realize we're changing until we look back and see that we're not who we used to be. And that has been my experience.
I think that's an important reason to journal.
Oh.
Because there's been times I've picked up an old journal, and I'm terrible at it. I am just telling on myself right now.
I have been too.
But there have been times I've picked up my journal and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's an old version of Deb.
When I was first, several years ago, when I was called to be the Elders Quorum president, our next door neighbor and close friend, Bishop Warren was our bishop at the time, and he gave me some wise advice. He counseled me to keep a spiritual journal during that period of time. And I did off and on. I'm glad for the moments that I did. Wish I would have more, but I'm glad for the moments that I did, because those are definitely points of spiritual strength for me. And so, you know, maybe that's a good thing for us to consider doing.
Yeah.
It's just keeping track of those. I think that if we do, we're focusing, and what we focus on expands, right? So we'll get more if we focus on it more.
Well, and I think I mean, you said something that made me think. When you said we just want instant downloads, you know, with AI now, when I was in Young Women's before, I used to say, you can't Google a testimony. I mean, you can Google what it is, and you can't AI a testimony. You can't, you know, you can put all the information you want, but it isn't until you're still and you allow the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to testify of the Father and of the Son.
Yeah.
And it's in those quiet, unplugged moments. Not with downloads, not with, you know, AI is wonderful and can offer so much information, but we sometimes forget who we are in our testimony and in our conviction of our own knowledge because of the downloads of the Spirit. And when I get my major downloads, it's in the celestial room.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get them
there. And the shower, oddly enough. Those two places.
I have a close friend who says the same thing. Yeah. He gets them in the shower as well.
Yeah. Shower in the temple.
Yeah.
Those are my two downloads. I knew I was going to be the Young Women's President before I got called. And it came to me in the shower.
Right.
And I stopped and looked up in the sky and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But yeah, no, the shower in the celestial room.
Well, I do know this, that it comes, you know, little by little.
Yep.
Right? Line upon
small
line.
Small and simple things. Precept
upon precept. Small and simple things. Doctrine and Covenants, section 50 reminds us of that as well in verse 24. That which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light and continueth in God, that's important, receiveth more light. And that light groweth brighter and brighter. Until the perfect day. It doesn't say flash bang, you got it.
Right.
It grows brighter and brighter until the perfect day.
You know, that reminds me, years ago I went to Maui to visit my dear friend Michelle, and she took me up to the top of Haleakala to watch the sunrise. We left at like 3:30 in the morning, 4:00 in the morning to drive up there. And it's the highest mountain on that in Maui. And it was freezing cold and dark. I mean, I was wearing a coat. And I remember standing on the top of that volcano, watching and waiting for a sunrise. And it was interesting because as soon as the horizon got a little bit light, there were tons of people up there. It got silent. Like everybody was just, you know, they were talking until there was a little bit of light, and then there was silence, like whispering. And then as it got a little bit lighter, it got silent, like nobody was talking. And then there was this moment where that sun broke that horizon, that little teeny tiny light, and there was a native Hawaiian up there singing in the Hawaiian language. I don't know what language she was singing. This honoring that the sun came. And I sat there weeping, thinking this happens every single day. Then I take that sunrise for granted. That this little miracle, and because it was such a sacred experience for not just me, but everybody that was present. I mean, literally, it got sacredly silent, like so quiet. And then as soon as it came, like she just started chanting, singing this honor of the sunrise. And I have never had a more spiritual, I shouldn't say never, but that was quite a spiritual experience that I'll never forget. And anytime I see a sunrise, I think that's a miracle.
Yeah.
Every day that light is consistent.
As you're talking about that, you know, I'm thinking about how things just come a little bit at a time sometimes, right? And again, this whole idea that it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be loud, etc. This is actually from page 68 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We're in the world to play the role He assigns. Just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him, does He enable us to match calamity with serenity. Serenity.
Wow. That's peace.
That's where I find Him. Mm-hmm. More often than not now.
Yeah.
You know, more often than not, that's where I find Him. I just think of, you know, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His burden doesn't seem light sometimes.
It's because you're carrying too much.
And I think it's because you know, maybe we're trying to carry something that He doesn't ask us to carry.
Oh, yeah. I pick stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll literally pick up a boulder and then think, this isn't for me to carry.
This is His to carry.
Well, and even, I mean, as a mom and a grandma, I remember my mom telling me this, the more kids you have, the more you have to worry. And I thought, oh, why worry? Quit worrying. Don't worry about me. But I find myself picking up the burdens of my children and my grandchildren. And I think, oh, I just, you know, help. What can I do? And it's not, they're His.
Yeah.
They're His.
Right.
I can pray for Him and have faith that He will. Their journey is exactly what it needs to be. I can love them and I can support them, but it's not mine to fix. It's not mine to carry. That's a perfect example of yoking with the Savior, because it's not mine to pick up, and I still pick it up. And I catch myself and I do self-talk and go, Deb, this is none of your business.
This is one of the things where in recovery, circles of recovery, and for those who have been around it will recognize this saying, but this is where we say, let go, let God.
Yes. Yeah.
Let go. It's not yours. It's His.
Right.
And when I remember that, when I remember sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed or when I'm feeling downtrodden or when I'm feeling like I just have too much weight to carry myself, I need to remember it's not my weight.
Yeah.
He doesn't expect me to carry that weight.
Yep.
He wants me to rely on Him to carry that weight and to comfort me and bless me and calm me as I go through it. I don't remember who said it. I think it was Elder President Ezra Taft Benson, but I could be wrong on that. But somebody said that sometimes the Savior will calm the storm, but sometimes He'll let the storm rage and calm the child within the storm. And that's me within the storm. As long as I reach out to Him and allow Him to be a part of my life. Again, focusing on a eternal relationship with Him.
Yeah. And just seeing Him in the calm and the steady. Look for small ways that He shows up, because He does.
Yeah.
Like I said before, sometimes He's there before we even notice Him.
Yeah. And sometimes the yoke, the easy yoke, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm carrying anything or that He's taking anything. Sometimes that yoke is just Him being by my side.
Yeah.
Just that companionship. So
what a comfort too. I mean, what a sweet, peaceful message to be reminded.
Right.
That he's always there.
Always.
Yeah. And he honors agency, and he won't come into our lives unless we invite or ask.
Or ask. That's right.
And I'm so grateful I remember that, because then I hyper ask, please, please, please.
That's the crying out. We'll talk about that in upcoming, I was going to say workshops. I think I'm back at work. We're going to talk about that in upcoming episodes for sure.
Yeah.
That crying out and the importance of crying out.
Yes.
I look forward to this week. I have an opportunity to go to breakfast with one of our institute kids who's really struggling with an issue, and we're going to talk a lot about crying out and really understanding who we are and whose we are and why all of that matters. You know, so maybe this week, instead of just looking for what's spectacular in our lives, or maybe we just look for what's steady.
Yeah.
Maybe we just look for what's constant. Maybe we just look for small ways that he shows up. You know what?
Even if it's the sunrise.
Because he does.
I know.
Because he does.
I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to have that reminder today, so that I can take a personal inventory and that I can focus on him and see him in the small and steady and simple things. Because I testify he's there. I saw him this morning. I saw him today. I see him right now. It's like, it's just using those spiritual eyes to be able to see, my heart to feel, and my mind to know.
I love him.
Me too.
And I know he loves me.
Me too.
And Deb, honestly, there's just nothing more important to me than that. Yep. Is my relationship with him. You know, that a soul so rebellious and proud of my as mine could be rescued by him. And he has rescued me, and he will rescue you too. I testify of that. We look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, be well.